And now the Great Plains Native Plant Society is building a memorial garden and visitor center just south of Hermosa. It takes up a small corner of the 340 acres of land dedicated to the cause by South Dakota writer, rancher, and environmentalist Linda Hazelstrom. People can go there and hike over grassland, or sit on it, or lie on it, to discover the diverse ecosystem in South Dakota's slice of the Great Plains. This project continues the work of Claude Barr, a South Dakota rancher who became internationally known for his collection and sharing of native plants and seeds. The founder and director of the Native Plant Society says biodiversity is vital for the health of an ecosystem, and she says native plants, as well as animals, are central to that system. SDPB's Victoria Wicks has this story for today's In the Moment.
A log cabin sits on a wide stretch of grasslands just to the east of Highway 79, about 5 miles south of Hermosa. At a respectful distance is a rustic outhouse. Around the cabin is a natural timber fence with a developing flower garden inside it.
Plants are like humans. They come in, each individual is an individual. And some of them will have a little bit larger flower, the petals a little wider, a little more overlapping.
Cindy Reed is founder and director of the Great Plains Native Plant Society, and she has a thing for penstemons.
In South Dakota, in western South Dakota, we have 5 or 6 species, and we do not have them all growing in our display yet.
Reed says the Native Plant Society has received a grant to try growing all varieties of this plant that grow in North America. An online check shows about 250 species of the penstemon genus.
Penstemon is becoming a common name for this group of plants because they are now being found in the nurseries. When I was a kid, and I think all the ranches around us also, I think they called them bluebells. But the odd thing was some of them are white, and so we called them those white bluebells.
South Dakota is home to an endless sky, and under it is mostly grassland. People driving through are tempted to say there's nothing here. But Cindy Reed says they need to take a closer look.
Like my dad said, you got to get off your horse. You got to walk around a little bit. Sometimes you have to sit down on the ground. On one of our field trips, we were searching for a certain wildflower that I knew existed in that area. We're tromping along in our enthusiasm, you know, and we tromped around for a couple of hours, and finally we decided to sit down on the top of this one hill, and as soon as we sat down, we looked around. Oh, there's one. There's one.
This is a carbon sink. Here we are driving more and more carbon-belching vehicles at a greater rate, and the grasslands is what's keeping us breathing.
Linda Hazelstrom runs a writer's retreat located nearby. To the west, the Black Hills make a dark blue division between the vast expanse of grassland and sky. Hazelstrom owns this land. It's part of her ranch. And her livestock will continue to graze where visitors walk.
And the grasslands depends on native plants. And the native plants, pretty much, I'll throw in my plug here, depend on ranchers keeping these large wild ecosystems intact. And that's what ranchers do, is keep wild ecosystems intact, because we don't go out and shoot all the antelope or even all the coyotes.
Right.
Part of keeping an ecosystem healthy is to keep out non-native plants, especially those that are invasive. Take cheatgrass, for instance. Hazelstrom says it's invasive in more ways than one.
Cheatgrass is palatable to cattle for about 15 minutes in the spring, and then it immediately develops these needle-like seeds that can catch in a cow's throat and pack and completely smother her breathing. It's just awful stuff.
Get in their eyes and cause disease.
Get in their ears. Not to mention your socks and underwear. If you walk through a field of cheatgrass, you will have cheatgrass seeds in your underwear, I guarantee it.
Both Hazelstrom and Reed discussed the history of human interference in the ecosystem, brought in by immigrant settlers who had been convinced that manifest destiny extends even to climate.
You have to understand, these people came from the East, and the goal of the professionals at that point was to improve. They were going to improve the plains. They were going to improve the whole West, actually. They were going to improve it by building all the dams and everything else that they did, some of which turned out better than others. Cheatgrass is maybe the worst, but it's in a close race with sweet clover at this point.
Sweet clover is the little yellow flowers, right?
Yes.
Right. But cheatgrass will grow on, as Cindy said, on desert ground, on bare ground. So I think they looked at bare areas and said, oh, this stuff will grow there. But they couldn't have looked at it for an entire season, or they would have seen those needles, or else they weren't cattle people and didn't understand what it would do.
And they didn't know our climate.
No.
You know, that was the same time when the predominant thought was, if you can imagine this, but it was accepted scientific, considered to be knowledge, rain follows the plow.
Right.
That these areas, this plains area, which is not going to get more than an average of 15, 16 inches of rain, that if you would just plow it up, it will rain more.
So back to the penstemons. There are many common names for it. Bluebells, wild foxglove, Canterbury bells, beard tongues. Common names proliferate for many prairie plants, whether native or introduced. Purslane is known as pigweed, little hogweed, or red root. Hooked agrimony is also tall, hairy grove burr. Lamb's quarters are goosefoot and fat hen. And Dame's rocket, brought in from Europe and found to be very invasive, is also called sweet rocket, wild lilac, night-scented gillyflower, and mother of the evening.
No, my grandma called it summer lilac. My father called it something else that I won't repeat. That was one thing he would pull without getting off his horse.
Reed says colloquial names and regional names prevent us from knowing for sure that we're talking about the same thing. She says using the Latin scientific names cuts through barriers of geography and language.
And so I am concentrating on holding on to the scientific names because I find that when I'm talking to my foreign visitors, people at conferences, if we know the Latin name, we know we're talking about the same thing. Even if I can't speak Japanese, those people do know some Latin names. So we can communicate.
And so within the fence containing the Claude A. Barr Memorial Great Plains Garden, tucked into the dirt at the roots of the penstemons and cacti and sage, are little markers bearing the Latin genus and species names. Eventually, Cindy Reed hopes visitors will come to view them and maybe cross the fence to hike across open ground or sit on it to find that there's a whole world living in that grass. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in the Black Hills.
And for photos and to learn more about Claude Barr, go online to listen.sdpb.org. Find links to this story.